And so it's not just what is said, but how it is said that determines what I call grace and favor. So let's look at some scriptures in the Bible. We are looking at the way of grace and favor. The way of grace and favor. And so let's look here in the book of Genesis first. We look at those same individuals who receive great grace and favor that we touch on in our prayer sessions. Look at Joseph. As they work out the grace and favor that God has deposited upon their lives. And in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2, he ends up in Potiphar's house. And in verse 2, here he was sold as a slave with nothing that belongs to him. Not even his own body belongs to him anymore. He had nothing, but in verse 2, 39 verse 2, Genesis, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him. Now, notice, it didn't record any conversations. Of course, there probably were conversations. But the master saw, it was through the eye gate. He saw in the mannerism, in the way Joseph do things, in everything that he did. In verse 3, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did. The Lord bless his actions. So the Lord bless his actions, not just what he did, but how he did it. They are twofold to every action. Every action and every word has a twofold way. And so the same action, he did it, what he did, and how he did it. So many times we read this scripture, and you only consider what he did. Isn't that true? You know, when you read in the Bible, the Lord bless what he did. In your mind, you're thinking that he did the right things. But you forgot that he did the right things in the right way. Because you could do the right thing in the wrong way, it also makes it wrong. The right thing has to be done in the right way. And this is what the Lord is revealing. The difference between a mediocre action or wrong action and a quality action is in the way that it is done. Not just in what is done. It is the way that it is done. And if your profession is, let's say, an acting, a Hollywood actor doing, you know, good movies, not the bad stuff, the difference between you as a quality actor and someone else who's a mediocre actor, remember, in every profession you go to, whether it be acting, engineering, architectural, computers, or any area, you have to distinguish yourself. Because there's a whole bunch of others who have the same capacity as you. The only way you distinguish yourself is the way you do it. And so those who are quality, and you look at the quality actors, they know the way to present words. It is not just the words they're presented. You take three different actors to act the same act, they come up differently. Why? It is the same script, same words, same emotional background, but it's the way the quality one did it that makes the difference. So when we read words in Genesis 39, verse 3, where God blessed all that Joseph did, don't just think about what he did, but think also about how he did it. Because how he did it, the way he did it, was what distinguished him. Remember, Potiphar had many servants before Joseph. Joseph was not the first and only one. And I believe Joseph probably started at the bottom of the ladder too. And probably 100 other slaves has gone done the same thing. Correct? As far as the actions are concerned, what new actions do you think Joseph has as a slave? Every action that he was ordered to do has been ordered by other slaves too. To other slaves. But there is a difference in the way he did it that stood out above all the rest. And God was blessing not just what he did, but the way he did it. And as you go right through, Joseph was skillful in the way he does things. And in verse 5, so it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate, and Joseph was faithful. And of course, he got his various trials. And then here's a clue as to the way Joseph does things. In chapter 40, towards the end of chapter 39, just before that, Joseph was falsely accused. And that's nothing new. In verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners was confined, and he was there in a prison. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand, again emphasizing his actions, to Joseph's hand, all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatever they did there, it was his doing. What a commendation to Joseph. And again in verse 23, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord prospered. Now remember again, it is not just what is done, because before Joseph ended up in prison, there was probably another prisoner who was doing those things. But when Joseph did those things, there was a difference. There was a quality stuff coming in when Joseph did it. Not just what he did, but the way he did it. Then in chapter 40 of Genesis, and we have here Joseph's story when he was in prison. Now, here it goes into more detail. And a story tells us about how one fine day, the butler and the baker displeased the king, King Pharaoh, and they landed in prison. Now, look at how Joseph handled new prisoners. Look at the difference he dealt with them than, I believe, other people who were in charge. It tells us there in verse 6. Joseph, chapter 40, verse 6. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. Now, he could have just discounted that. He could be a person who likes compassion, and he just does his job, you know, put the food there and say everything is alright and go off. But Joseph went the second mile. He was not just a quantity man of actions, he was a quality man. And he looked and he saw that these people were sad. And he went a little step further. And he wanted to cheer them up. And he says, in verse 7, why do you look so sad today? Now, that is none of his business. But the way he does things, he wants to make sure that he is a blessing to the person. Because if he serves food to a sad person, mostly the sad person won't eat. So he's not just interested in doing his job and giving the food to the sad person. He wants to make sure that the sad person has gets back his countenance and begins to eat the food that he served. Quality stuff. And in the process, he found that they had a dream that they couldn't understand. They both had dreams. He interpreted the dreams for them. And although in verse 23, the butler forgot about him, 2 years later, because of that one incident, it was the key to Joseph's promotion. Who would have thought that a simple inquiry into why are you sad could be the key to the gift of dreams and interpretation operating and to the freedom that he so longed for? Who would have thought that being concerned for when a person is sad and downcast is the key to his future deliverance? Now, if Joseph was just a non-quality man who just goes about his job and he does his job, but the way he does his job is not concerned about people, then he just go, yeah, yeah, yeah. You could, do you know you could be effective? You could be disciplined. You could be conscientious. But yet, you could be rude. You could be blunt. You could be brash. You could be unchristian. The key is the way. And so, here he comes. And he sees this. He could have just served these people. I mean, it's none of his business. No, they said, let them be said. They don't eat. Let them don't eat. I'll collect it back whether they eat it or not. He could have taken the attitude. But just a little bit concerned for someone who was downcast and sad was the key to his entire future. What happened if he didn't do that? Pharaoh would have his dream, and the butler would never know anything about this Joseph. He only remember him as a very good disciplinarian man in the prison. And Joseph would have rotted the rest of his life in prison, and God would have to raise somebody else to take his place. Quality is in the way we do things. And in Daniel's life, who also has grace and favor, Daniel was skillful in actions, but primarily the Bible emphasized he was skillful in words. Let's look at the book of Daniel. And so we look at some of the people who had great grace and favor upon their life in the book of Daniel. And here Nebuchadnezzar has a dream in Daniel chapter 2. And of course, by that time, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his three friends, were all serving under the king's council. And the king had a funny dream that he could not interpret, and the king was a bad-tempered king. So in Daniel chapter 2, verse 13, it tells us, chapter 2, verse 13, the decree went out, and they began killing the wise man. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Note verse 13 very carefully. Their lives were in danger. They were in the service of King Nebuchadnezzar, a very bad-tempered king. So the command went out to Arioch, the chief of the guards, go and slaughter all these wise people because they cannot even help me in the simple matter of this dream. And some of the wise men were already killed. Some of the wise men were already killed. And they were looking for Daniel and his three friends. But when Arioch came to Daniel and his three friends, and I like these words in verse 14. Daniel 2 verse 14. With counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. It is not just what he said, but how he said, and the posture he took as he said to Arioch. And he tells us here, he answered and said to Arioch, king's captain,